This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
Second half of the worship episode. If you're noticing the laughter in the background, it's because it's been 3 seconds since the last one, as we're going to keep going. But I want to pick it up.
Great to be back.
It's good to be back, gentlemen.
It's great to be back.
Well, here's the question. Yay. I want to start this half of the conversation with. This is something that I think a lot about, and I want your guys' opinion on it. It comes out of John chapter 4. Jesus said, "The hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Now, I skew heavily to truth. Mm-hmm. And I would say that maybe, and this is both charitable and maybe uncharitable, depending on how you look at it, I would say that most of the modern worship songwriting and song singing movement leans more heavily into the spirit and experience at the expense of truth. So, gentlemen, help me navigate my love for truth and my desire to not quench the spirit in worship. How do we do that? What are some ways we do that as worship leaders?
That's a great question.
I'm better at asking them than answering them, baby.
Be discern on what songs are out. If it's popular, sometimes if it's popular, maybe stay away from it.
So are you thinking like lyrically?
Not always.
Not 100% agree with
not
that.
Always.
Not always. Not
read the lyrics. Make
there
sure
are some songs that are really popular.
Name one. Oceans?
Not a chance.
I was just saying.
Couples Not Removed is like getting around there a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you mean, been around there?
It's getting around a little bit. Like
what song?
The Couples Not Removed.
Who wrote that?
I don't know what that is.
We did that on Good Friday. You wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. Someone skipped. There.
The groups that are making it popular are groups that I am sometimes wary of.
Oh, interesting.
That, like when they do the song, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's not. I want to give it an extra look.
Yeah.
Well, now hang tight because I got a question about that too.
Yeah. Oh, I have a lot of opinions.
I know we're getting there.
What you were saying, like that's obviously not always the case.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. What was he saying? That was not always the case.
Yeah. What did I say?
Because I was saying just be discerned because sometimes popularity might not.
Yeah.
Oh,
might
I thought you were saying all popular.
No, not all. No.
Yeah.
Not all.
Yeah.
Because truth is not always popular.
Yeah. Be discerned.
It's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Have discernment. Use the discernment that God has given you to read the lyrics and then go to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
So I would also say go back to the motivation.
Yes.
We cannot control or summon the Holy Spirit.
Nope.
Amen.
He decides to be there or not. I think that when our goal is to throw our crowns down, to just speak or sing or acknowledge the worth of God, how worthy He is of praise, and to praise Him for it, that I think is, you know, a lot of times the Spirit will invite Himself in there, and that's great.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we should be sitting down to like, okay, we're going to try and get the Spirit to move tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you're like, I'm going to try and convince God to do the thing.
Yeah.
Which is obviously like crazy, I think I want to say. As opposed to prayer where we're asking or, you know, something like that. This is trying to control or manipulate.
Do you think sometimes when we're trying to do that particular thing, we might open the door to other spirits that aren't of God?
I think so. I think it kind of...
I would say yes.
So you're saying that just because everybody looks like they're worshiping doesn't mean they're actually worshiping?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. like we've heard in a docuseries, you can use certain chord structures to manipulate emotion.
And it's not that hard.
It's not hard at all.
Mm. Right.
That's why pop music is so popular.
It's what
it sounds good.
DCAC?
G. There's key of G.
Yeah, G. Yeah.
You know who knows all these rules? Like John Williams, Danny Elfman, the movie music guys.
Yes.
They know how to make you feel things.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, yeah. They just, there are equations and formulas now.
Yeah.
Hamilton made me cry.
No.
Well, there you go.
No one asked you.
But I'm not into it.
But yeah, I think that the presence of the spirit, or just also any emotional output, which I think, if I'm kind of forgetting already, was that part of the question originally?
The question originally? Is basically, yeah. How do you navigate both spirit and truth in worship?
I think that a lot of times when we want spirit, what we are actually looking at is emotion.
Oh, it's so good.
And
that's so good.
I think that's
very good. Mm-hmm.
Both of those, I think the spirit coming in is a great end result. I think that emotion can be a good byproduct of good worship, but I think that it should not be your goal. And if it is, then you're back to manipulating, you're back to putting on a show.
Yeah.
The goal should be that God is praised for how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else will fall into place after that. And you will have good nights, you'll have bad nights.
Mm-hmm.
The greatest gift I think a worship leader can have is to be able to worship when it's good or when it's bad.
Mm. Yeah.
And that is whether you're up front, when you're having that bad day where your heart's not in it, but you know that you've been called to it and it's your job, so you do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can still get to the throne room. You just have to, you know, you have to work a lot harder at it. You have to put in a lot more focus. You have to be okay with the fact that you're not going to have fun tonight, but that's all right. Fun is not the goal.
Exactly.
And when you can do that, you can do good worship even when your heart's not in the right spot.
I've known a lot of worship leaders, and that's the first time I've heard that, and I really like that.
It's very good.
Well,
I'm sure someone said it before me. I don't know who.
I'm not saying they have. Yeah. They haven't. Yeah. But that is the first time I've heard that. I really like that.
Which part did you like?
That even if you're having a crappy day,
mm-hmm.
even if whatever is happening in your life, it might not be fun, but that's not the goal. The goal is not fun. The goal is to worship our King and give him praise. That's it.
Preach.
Because that's what he deserves, and fun is not part of that.
Yeah.
Mm. It might be fun.
It's great when it's fun, but it doesn't have to be.
It doesn't have to be fun.
And you got
to
be song, you gotta about, okay.
I thank God. That's what it was. That's popular, and it's a Maverick City song.
Yeah.
But, that song's fun. That song is super fun. And it gives God praise.
Mm.
But you could still play that song and not have fun because you've played it 600 times.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've played certain songs and I am sick of playing them. By the time, this is a rule we had at our last church. If you're sick of it, the congregation is finally starting to like it.
I don't know if I necessarily believe it, but
I don't necessarily believe it either.
It might be a little hyperbolic, but I can see where they came to that conclusion.
You've played it so many times, you're sick of it, but that doesn't matter. Yeah. That the goal is not to make you feel good. That's not the goal. The goal is to worship God.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. I always had a thing about just show up.
Mm.
You know, that's been the mentality I've had the last couple of years is just, if I ain't feeling it, just show up.
Is that good or bad?
Good.
I mean, good because then you're there to worship.
Because if I'm just so like, man, this sucks, I'm like, just come as you are, show up. And God usually works. And God usually speaks.
They'll tell you what, if you're there to lead worship and you're doing it, I mean, God's sovereign. So if at least at that moment you were called to lead in that moment.
Yeah.
So you show up.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do whatever you need to do to be worshipful in that moment. That's good. If it's something where that becomes your normal, is just show up, you're probably not called to it anymore.
Yeah.
And use that discernment.
That's interesting. That's, callings change.
Callings can change. Yes. Yeah. Every life has seasons. You know?
Yeah. Well,
I feel like
there's some people that need to hear that.
I feel right now like I could lead worship to the day I die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. That's what I want right now. I love it. I love leading worship so much. I've seen so much. Can we say crap? Is that?
I've said crap three times.
Okay. All right.
C-R-A-P.
I thought I'll swear. But I've been through so much crap, and I've never lost my joy for leading worship. And I've seen it since I was a teenager. Stuff that, like,
me too.
I should traumatize people. Yeah. Man, I had a guitar beheaded. Remember when the stuff got stolen and, like, my guitar got broken because it was leaning against the wall?
Do you remember who it was?
Yes.
Yep.
We had fun burning that guitar later on.
We did.
That was
and mattresses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was a dumpster fire of a party is what that was. So much but anyway, back to the thing.
Yeah.
I forgot what the thing was. That's what happened. No,
you still could see yourself leading worship. And I would just, while you're thinking about your thought, I think it's because you see yourself as a worshiper first.
Oh,
I think when you make yourself a worship leader first, then you can't be weak. Then you can't have a bad day. Then you got to be the guy that's manufacturing something that really you never should have been manufacturing to begin with. Now, and I only say that because now I can't speak to leading worship. I can only speak to the things that I know, which would be leading. So the Bible says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord. As I read the New Testament, it would seem to me when Jesus talks about worship, when they talk about the Spirit, he is activated, he is motivated, he is led by God's word. And so my take on worship, and this is maybe I want to know what you guys think, is true worship is worshiping God with the promises of God. If we don't have the promises of God, we're not, I mean, what are we doing? I mean, what, yeah. I mean, what we're doing is we're saying, God, these are your promises, and we're glorifying you for them, which is why I think lyrics are so important. But I also think, the reason why you can come having a bad day, and if you're singing true things about God, you're singing God's promises, you cannot help but the Spirit to overtake you and to lead you into worship, because it's not about an experience or an emotional high. It's saying, God, you are, be who you said you are.
Yeah.
That's what, and worship, I want to worship you for who you are, and just remind me that you are who you are. And if we see ourselves as worshipers first, because I'm with you guys. Like, I don't think you burn out if you're doing it the way God calls you to do it.
Yeah.
I think you burn out when you try to do it yourself or by the power that you're given. So it doesn't mean callings don't change. I think I'm with both you guys on that, because God will take you in and out. But what I'm saying is, like, if you're burning out, that is probably like a warning sign that maybe what you're doing is unsustainable because it's unbiblical.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah. We've talked about this.
I think it's like a fever at that point. It is.
Cowbell?
Yes. Fever. No, okay, but the burnout, the start of burnout, I think, is the indicator that, sometimes a fever just means that you're teething, you know? Mm. You're working through something you've got.
Living that right now.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. His little baby boy. But sometimes it's just something that comes with growing. And you get through it and you get back and you're good. But sometimes if it keeps going, there's a deeper sickness there.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be that, you're just no longer called to that.
Yeah.
That's what I said, callings. Yeah.
Which is not a cop-out for all of our listeners. You're not copping out if you feel like you need to pull out. That's That could be legit. That's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're also not here to make everybody's decisions for them.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, and you know what? Let it be temporary and see how you feel in a month. You know, don't like the idea that, like, once we're signed up for a ministry, we have to be available for the rest of our lives. It's just so unhealthy.
It is not a good thing.
It's not just in worship ministry. It's in every single thing you can sign up for at a church. Yeah. And I mean, you know, we're that 20% in the 80-20 rule, and we're just going to keep doing things until we lose all our steam. It's just it's an unavoidable part of the culture, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
Good help is hard to find.
Yeah. And so when
I
you find
it, use it.
You ring that stuff out. Yeah.
Well, for me, it's been nice to be out of doing anything.
Does it make corporate worship sweeter for you, knowing that you don't have to carry it all the time?
No.
No.
Not at all. But, like, for me, it's just been nice because, I mean, God kind of said, you've sucked at being a husband. You've sucked at being a dad, because you've been so engulfed and obsessed with becoming something that maybe you weren't supposed to be in the first place or whatever, which has been hard for me to come to grips with. It's like, there's been conversations with God. I'm like, well, why did you waste my time? That's how I felt. I was like, how do you, like, why did you do, like, give me all this talent for nothing? That's what it felt. It's what it felt like.
Did he say at that point, well, why didn't you listen to me?
Probably.
All right.
But I was just like, this just seems like such a weight. Like, 'cause if I'm like, to me, if, and this is just my stupid mentality, but it's like, if I'm not actively doing something with it, it seems useful, like useless to me or whatever. So it's just like, he's like, no, it's not the point. He's like, you need to worship me. You don't need to, like, perform for me. Like, you need to be a worshiper. I was like, well, I don't even understand that. Like, because I can't, I'm so thick-headed, it's like, I can't get past, which I know what it means.
Right.
But in the moment when I'm, like, just actively, like, discussing my thoughts, I guess, or whatever, it's just like, I don't get it. Like, it won't click until I'm, until I think about it more, you know? And, but it's been good for me to be out of any kind of, like, church leadership. Because I've been doing it since I've been, like, I've been a leader of something since I was, like, 14 or whatever.
And for anybody in that boat, I mean, this isn't for Brandon, but for anybody listening that's in that boat, remember what Paul says in Acts 17:25. God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. We sing a song at our church that goes, it's our breath, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you. It's a direct quote of Acts 17. It's the breath you give us, the skills you give us. You don't need us to do any of it.
Yeah.
Which is just helpful to be reminded of.
Yeah. 100%.
All right, let's get spicy.
Hold on. I want to side note.
I got another question.
So go ahead. All right. So just side note. If you are a husband or wife, if you are a parent.
Everyone at this table can only be a husband, to be clear. That is podcast rule.
There are female listeners.
I want everybody to know where I'm at on that issue.
All right.
Everybody here can be husbands only.
We are all husbands. Most of us are fathers.
Edit. Waste of time. Yeah. Go.
It's fine.
Just a waste.
Keep it in.
I don't mind people hearing it. I think it's just a waste of time. Go
ahead. You may, at face value, think that worship is more worthy than your family. Just because, yeah, God should be your priority.
Yeah.
God should be the head of your marriage. God should be the way that you parent is godly. So, yeah, you can't love your wife and kids or your husband and kids or whoever without loving God more and first. That being said, being a spouse and a parent is worship. And if being involved in ministry takes away from that, which should be your first calling, then you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
So, like, for anyone out there that has ever used, I'll tell you what, ministries probably end a lot of marriages.
Yeah.
When they're not being done well.
Uh-huh.
I've got a story about that. Like,
me too.
It's about me. So
is mine.
Nice. I remember we had one, maybe two kids, and we came to something, and we were late. We were late to it, and I was either leading worship, like, not the way we're talking about here, like Baptist style, like reading some scripture and praying. Like, that's my leading. It's not the music part. But, like, it was something where we were late, and I stormed into our pastor's office, and I said, I'm sorry I was late. Just trying to get out the door. But with all these kids and my wife, I told her we had to be here, but we just were late. And he said, always be late, because your family comes before ministry. I was expecting him to just rag on my wife and say, you need to get her in line. You need to tell her you got to go. He's like, that's not how we do it here. Like, your family comes first.
I hope there's some form of don't you dare do that again or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like
he let me have it.
It's like,
don't worry.
I know Pastor
this
Dave.
This is the G-rated version. He is not afraid to tell me. But he was very stern in a
good
kind way.
Pastor
saying,
Dave.
He was saying, you don't, basically he was saying, don't sacrifice your family in the altar ministry. It ain't worth it.
And don't throw them under the bus.
Also that.
Yeah.
Don't throw your wife under the bus.
Why not?
Literally or figuratively.
So I've seen it. I mean, I can't speak to the worship side, but.
Yeah.
That's good. And I think you're right. I think ministry ruins a lot of marriages. Mm. Can worship ministry be an idol?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh.
Maybe it didn't need to be asked.
Not that hard.
Oh, is that what was it, Calvin? Said the human heart is a factory of idols.
Yep.
Mm.
So
Yeah. I mean, as the worship ministry, you are like, oh gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? You're the best ministry in the church is how people look at it.
Most visible, probably, right?
One of the
most
prettiest.
You're the most, yeah, you're the.
It is the cool kids table.
It's the cool kids table.
Interesting.
And so therefore you are better. But yeah, you're the cool kid. Yeah, everyone sees you. So you start worshiping yourself.
All right.
So next question.
Spicy question, apparently.
Maybe it's spicy. It's very spicy in the church right now. So, and I'll frame it like this, and then I'll explain where I'm going with it. Can a song stand on its own two legs? Or does the ministry that produced it always carry the stigma of the song? So, for example, I'll name names right now. So, in our circles of more conservative Christianity, we would say things like, well, churches that are more charismatic, I mean, like Bethel or Hillsong or Elevation, churches that are more charismatic, and sometimes to the point even where maybe their lyrics are not as biblically centered as we would like to see, they would say, the question would be, can you do it? So if the song passes the lyric test, you test it by scripture, and you say, okay, there's no heresy in here, it lines up with scripture, would you be willing to play it or not play it?
I'll play it.
Let me give you some backstory. Does anybody here at this table like to sing It Is Well With My Soul?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Horatio Spafford wrote that song.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter. He was a Christian.
He's dead.
And his family died in a boat accident. That's the whole point of the song. He wrote it when he was floating over the part of the sea where his daughters died. Very sad. He died as a heretic. He renounced Orthodox Christianity, and he believed in some other weird part of Christianity. So his ministry would not stand the test of Orthodoxy. So in that example, he would be like Hillsong, started out Christian and ended up maybe being less than such. But we still sing that song like it's the bee's knees. So my question then would be, is it because he's dead? Is it because no one knows? Is it because the song outlasted his ministry? Why are we comfortable singing a song like It Is Well With My Soul when the writer was a heretic? And we have problems with singing songs that are theologically accurate from ministries that are not.
I would say, and this is something that the church is going to struggle with, it takes some nuance. You got to read the room a little bit. You have to know your congregation. So I think that, like, yeah, for It Is Well With My Soul, I will obviously just probably always do that one unless someone...
I'm not saying stop.
Yeah,
just
no.
To be clear, unless
somebody, like, was revealed some part of scripture that just, you know, millions of people had missed for thousands of years kind of thing. And like, it was like, wait a second, we can't sing that. I was like, okay, yeah, maybe. But, and for more modern examples, it depends. You can't do like a black and white on this one. Cause I think that, so like we've got some versions of songs that, were done by a group that, I would say right now, at least in our congregation, they probably feel pretty strongly about coming out with some feelings on the LGBTQ community. And I think that if that were the only version of that song...
Do you want to name names? Because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah.
So we're talking... Okay, so Ren Collective.
You
Are My Vision instead of the Be Thou My Vision. And... I have nothing against that song.
Would you still do it?
I think that right now it would be unwise, at least for a time, because it's going to cause my brothers and sisters to stumble.
I didn't know they wrote it. It wouldn't cause me any...
And that's the thing. But
that's the range, right?
I know people in our congregation that will stumble on it right now.
And that's your job.
Yeah. And yeah. Will
that's
they...
That's a fair argument.
Will they... Yeah. Grow past that in time,
hopefully.
Possibly.
Lord, yeah, hopefully.
I hope so. Yeah. I'm praying for it. If they don't, I'll tell you what. There's some great ways to do "Be Thou My Vision" that isn't their arrangement of it, and like modified lyrics. Yeah. And
Citizens has a really good version of that song.
There are some awesome ones. I think there's a Ascend the Hill version that I've been kind of looking at a little bit.
Oh, come on. But don't do that to me.
No.
You'll be doing that to all three of them.
Ain't doing it to me. No, I guarantee you.
The drums are normal on that one. It's fine.
Liar.
They're in like 3-4 or 4-4, something like that. Something
not
nice.
17-12.
You know, Irish pub like this week.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was
what you played today.
That was epic. But yeah, I think that, and I'll tell you, the church struggles so much with nuance.
Yeah, oh, true.
There's the church wants black and white answers on everything.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to call you out. That's lazy. That means you don't want to think, and you need to think. So like, but yeah, for the most part, it just takes more than a yes or no answer.
Yeah.
You got to think about your people. And that's, again, where the priority list that I had earlier comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have to say that was the last episode.
Right.
<that's, laughs> Dang it. That's confusing.
That's all right.
But yeah. So do the lyrics match up with scripture?
Mm-hmm.
Does it say good things about God? Does it praise him? Yes. Does it cause any trouble for the flock that you're leading? If it does, you kind of have to take one for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Until you can, confidently say that people aren't going to trip on that one anymore.
Yeah,
there's outliers. You might have a single person.
I was going to say
there might be one person in your congregation that's hating on a song. There's one. This song, I don't like that we do it because this line is something I don't agree with.
Yeah,
but that I think would be different than
if it's the ministry
that wrote it.
Yeah,
would you agree?
Yes. I say, and this. Yeah, I'm kind of off track
on
this.
You're fine. Because I think they're both worthy of talking about.
But I think if it's one person, but for like if your consensus is this is a good song that says good things and it helps people worship, sometimes you have to, as lovingly as possible, tell someone, I respect how you feel about that. But it's not the common opinion, so we're probably going to keep doing it.
It's also not a sin issue,
right?
Because there's no commandment being broken.
Yeah,
there's no biblical command that says you cannot do worship songs from apostate ministries. Ultimately,
yeah.
So it's a wisdom and a discernment issue. It's not.
Yeah, it's not.
We're not talking about breaking the commandments of law. We're talking about Romans 14.
Mm.
I would think, right?
Yes.
So at what point do you say?
I'm asking the questions here. You whisper it into my ear, and then I'll ask it. No, go ahead.
He's wearing headphones. That don't work.
No, so at what point do you say, okay, it's been enough time. Let's say there's still 10, 20 people that are struggling with that. But the rest of the church is like, you know what? Okay, maybe 10, 20 people. We don't have that massive of a church. So let's say there's 10 people. 10 people that are still struggling. At what point do you say, okay, well, I think it's time that we can play the song now, but those 10 people still are like, okay, is that too many for you? Or because you're saying one is 10.
What's your threshold?
I would say that that's another thing where you can't set a rule. You just have to approach it.
Okay.
At the moment, that's a, let's burn that bridge when we get to it.
Sure. I'm just wondering.
I'm not a fan of burning bridges. I think that, it really comes down to, first of all, take a second look at the song. Is it worth possibly alienating a certain number of people over? And
usually never.
Usually not. But if it's
something. I would say no.
Yeah, no song is that good.
Yeah. So.
That it's good.
I haven't heard one yet. And I listen to a lot.
Here's my next question then. I mean, you already alluded to it, but so let's say the issue isn't necessarily the group, but it's a lyric. Hmm. Would you be willing to change a lyric?
I mean, you guys have.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, what a beautiful name it is. We changed You Didn't Want Heaven Without Us. We said, we couldn't have heaven without you.
Which is better.
Because the next line is, because you sent Jesus down.
Yeah.
So we've done that, but where are you guys at?
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. What's that?
That line was changed.
Mm. We don't do it that much, too, though. You might not know.
I've been at a church where that's like a high crime.
To change a lyric?
To change it from whatever is in the original copyrighted material. Yeah. So
is it a high crime?
It's not.
No.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I mean, it might be gray area.
I mean, we're still going to pay him.
Yeah. I say,
you're still getting your
CCLI money.
I mean, at that point, if that's illegal, then so is if that's illegal, then so is having another chorus at the end. So like, yeah, you have to be okay with artistic liberty, but even more so with if this doesn't line up with scripture, and you can make it line up with scripture without stumbling over it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite things that our church does is change lyrics to make them biblically accurate, because there are certain songs and I'm like, man, there's just that one thing that makes this song terrible, and it just, it's heretical, and change it and it's like, oh, it's good, it's fine, and it still fits lyrically, it still fits, it flows with the song, and there's nothing wrong with it now.
It's done well. And I'd say that, like, if it's, if it falls into place easy, awesome. If it doesn't,
maybe then, not.
Yeah, it's okay to abandon a song.
Like,
yeah,
we can't like pillage Reckless Love and make it work.
There's no way to make that song work.
Such a great song.
Such a good song.
I have played that song again.
That reminds me of another question that I would ask. Do you guys have a list of songs that you would listen to personally because you like them, but wouldn't do them corporately?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, so many.
But not because they're too hard, but because maybe you wonder if theologically, like, for example, Reckless Love is one for me. Like, I can listen to that, and I can I can have a definition of reckless to where I can say, okay, God is reckless in the sense that he's not counting the cost because we're all sinners. But that, to me, would be too much of a bridge to try and get the congregation not to stumble over.
Yeah.
So for me, I can still worship to that song in my, my personal time, but I would never do it corporately. Are you guys out on that? Or am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I've got a lot of those songs.
Oh, good to know.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think, Brandon?
Me?
Yeah, you've been quiet for a while, man.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Throw some heaters. What do you got?
Well, I only listen to like a handful of Christian artists.
Yeah, you're not a big
Christian
musician. I like punk.
Yeah, sorry. I do.
That's nothing wrong with that.
I do.
Yeah.
No,
Bryce, you sounded just like Brandon when you done that.
I threw my voice too.
It's uncanny.
Uncanny. No, I
I'm gonna overdub it with Brandon.
So, so for me, what I listen to is I like to listen to artists that actually mean what they say. And
short list.
How do you know that, though? You don't know them personally.
I don't know them personally, but when they write it, I'm like, I relate to it, kind of thing. And
Chris Tomlin writes things that you probably relate to.
Maybe.
He writes things that he would agree with.
I probably agree with.
Theologically.
But I don't, like, I'm going to give you an example. Like, say the song The Blessing. I would never, ever, ever sing that song in church because... Yeah.
It's biblical. It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, but it's coming from a bunch of rich people.
Also.
Which is tone deaf by all means.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. Which, that's the problem I have with modern worship. A lot of it is coming from tone deaf people that are like, we're struggling. Oh, Francesca Bettistelli. I don't need my name in lights. I'm famous in my father's eyes, but she's famous and rich.
In lights.
And lights. Yep. She loves to be in the spotlight. So it's like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
I haven't heard that name in a long time. Oh,
that's all I'm saying. Anytime I hear it, I'm like,
I've never heard anyone pronounce it correctly before.
Nailed it.
For just a disky, but a bit of
silly. All right.
I'm just saying.
Another question.
I'm just,
keep going.
That's all I'm saying. I think for me, I'm attracted to things that kind of like, I don't.
Real genuine
authenticness. You're a big authentic guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
you're all.
That's why you like punk music, because it's more authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's coming from a struggle.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's kind of, there's a struggle, and
yet you get a greater tone on an acoustic guitar than anybody I've ever met. So, no offense.
No, it's absolutely true. I mean, I'm not a guitar player. I don't know why they keep wanting me to do it.
No,
I
just,
probably because you're the worship leader.
Burn. So I've never seen anybody sing by playing bass.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't have a problem.
My brain overheated today doing that.
Yeah, or whatever.
You don't have a problem. What?
So I don't have a problem ditching Bethel.
Sure.
Or ditching Elevation.
Or any of them.
Or Hillsong. I don't have a problem. I have a real struggle with ditching Hillsong United, though, because I grew up with those songs. And those,
so that's not sarcasm?
Now I feel like you're legit. A hypocrite.
No, it's legit. I have a hard time. I don't listen to them anymore.
Okay.
But I have a hard time.
The nostalgia is strong.
It's more nostalgic than anything.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with United as well.
Yeah,
but
it's hard.
I will say there's some, this is from a, like a, it was like a church planting class or church growth class, that there's some real demographic data behind this that, I mean, it's unfortunately the case that churches can usually be broken down into like blue collar and white collar and yeah. different cultural sections and things like that. And in a church, that what they found is that in quote unquote blue collar churches, you're going to want, they want worship teams that aren't as polished, but are more genuine.
Yeah.
They want to see that the people leading the worship are, you know, really into the music and feeling it and stuff like that. And then you get to the white collar churches again, quote unquote, and they're looking for the higher production value mm-hmm. and things like that. And
it's almost like the urban and suburban kind of church.
It is a little mentality. Bit, yeah. And I think that really what it comes down to is, yeah, everyone's more comfortable worshiping with something they relate to.
Yeah.
Like cowboy church.
I would love to do cowboy church at some point, just for once, just to get in there. I've got all this twang I've just never used. And no, I'm just, but,
I'm pained.
I think that there's a just, yeah, there's something about relating to how the worship is done. And I kind on the one hand, I wish that that weren't true. I wish that just like you could do whatever, but at the end of the day, if you want to serve the congregation well as the second level of that responsibility,
yeah,
you kind of, you know, read the room and so long as you're not breaking any part of like prioritizing God and praising him, then yeah, you might have to give up some artistic freedom to do it in a way that's going to relate to the people in your church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a fine line because you don't, you also don't want to be manipulative. You don't want to fake it. You don't want to, I almost want to say compromise. I don't know if that's the right word, but yeah, I mean, you don't want it to be a show, but it is something where music has so many different ways to be interpreted and you do have to relate to your congregation somewhat in order to do it well.
All right, guys, I got three more questions for you.
Right, we got 15 minutes before my phone runs out.
Three questions. Ooh. First question, how do you, as a worship leader, integrate or introduce new songs? It's the best way to do it. How do you do it?
Just do it.
Just do it.
That's all I do.
Just do it.
I don't think there's...
I know what Andrew's going to do. Andrew's going to introduce it and have someone sing it.
I'm currently at the drawing board about this because, I mean, almost anywhere
that and say, let's go?
Almost anywhere that I've led worship or been on the worship team, that's how we do it.
There's no other way to do it, right?
Hey, we're doing a new song. I think that if you have a church service that allows space for, like, special music or something like that, which is such a weird name.
You know what we used to do? When we passed the plates for offering before COVID, we always introduced new songs there.
You know what? That's a great way to do it if you have that opportunity.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you can still worship with a song you've never heard before.
Yes, you can.
And I think that that's – I know our church struggles with that a little bit. It's very – there's a very
– Our church likes to sing.
If
they can't, then you get up.
Yeah, there's a thing about like if – like when we're – planning the service, it's like, well, we don't know that song yet, so we got to make sure that like everything is simple and straightforward and easy to read, and we have to make it, you know,
I have a lot of opinions about that.
I just want to say it is a healthy attitude to know that like sometimes you can worship by backing up and listening to what's going on and reflecting. You don't have to sing, but I know that like, yeah, maybe you're in a congregation where the mood is, if you're not singing, it doesn't feel right.
Sure.
That's when it's good to try and ease in the new songs.
Sometimes the best times I've had a worship.
You don't want to say experience.
I don't want to say experience because it's a bad word, but like when I have been able to worship at my best is sitting and listening to a new song. because I can absorb the words better than just singing them out because I know the words. Like, I can sit there, I can read the words that are on the screen and be like, man, yeah, that's powerful.
So first question, part B. Is there a limit to the amount of new stuff you can do in a service?
Probably be a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, there's a rubber band, always, right? You can't stretch too far.
I think you get to the point of inconsiderate if you just like throwing.
Yeah.
There are some churches that do one new song a week, and that is insane to me.
I think
because it's too much.
That sounds way exhausting.
Too much. Yeah, right.
It's too much.
Because that's not just hard on your congregation. That's hard on your team.
Dude.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, there's some churches that love that. But like the new whatever song drops, they're playing on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. They're playing it the next day. Yeah. They buy the tracks for it. They're playing it the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
to me,
that's insane.
I always did throwbacks when I would do worship leading or whatever.
Yeah.
Because we were doing all the new ones. And I'm like, throwback.
I like that.
Yeah. There were people that didn't.
Oh, yeah. Lots of people.
Hey, man, as long as we got worship teams, we got opinions.
Yeah.
What role or how extensive should the worship leader consider the spiritual development of those under him?
100%.
Like, should they be doing Bible studies? Should they be actively involved in fellowshipping and caring for the people that serve on that ministry?
How is your team going to be unified if you're not like intentionally pouring into them as a leader?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, so what do you do? Bible study? Meeting together? Yeah. Hanging out? What are you doing? Just normal stuff?
That could be like a community thing.
A community group, yeah.
I think it depends on how big the team is. You might, whatever you can schedule. You know, do something.
Do something.
It's more than just showing up on a practice. And
You need to know your team.
Yeah.
So it's like on anything. Like if you have volunteers, your pastor needs to know the volunteers.
Hmm.
He needs to understand what they're going through.
Yep.
Does the, I got so many more questions. Rapid fire, though. Here we go. Should everybody that plays on the worship team be a member of the church?
No.
I'm not a member of the church.
No, that's not why I asked the question.
If you have more questions, we can just use Andrew's phone.
That's fine. We'll just go rapid fire.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I think it's probably people that care about the most of people that have been burned by either a wolf that got into the flock and...
Sure.
I'd say this. No, I don't think membership is necessary. I do think that if it's someone who's a new attendee, hopefully, there's some time for the leadership to get to know them first.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if you're a leader that is concerned with the spiritual well-being of your team, that kind of stuff, it isn't as necessary to have membership be a requirement because you know your team and you're sharing your life together and you know them a little bit better. So, yeah, I don't think membership's
necessary.
Worship
team, you need to be believers?
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, I went to a church plant or whatever for a big major church network that they would just hire out the musicians because they wanted a good experience, but they might not necessarily be Christians. And I was like, I don't know about that.
Okay.
Because then you're just playing music at that point.
Yeah. I know some people that are on teams that aren't Christians because of that reason.
Last question. What song do you want to play? What's the one song you want to play at your funeral?
Ooh.
My wife has already decided that we're playing Landslide by Fleetwood Mac at my funeral. But
you serious?
Yeah, she's like,
how about a spiritual hymn? She's like, give me one of those.
She's like, you're old, you're gonna die first. I want to play the song at your
funeral.
That's
hilarious. I am that much older than you. That also doesn't bode well for me either. I'm older than you.
Probably whatever song at the time is out that has been released about someone going to heaven. It would be my guess.
You can decide what's that play.
I literally don't care.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Me. The way I would do it is I would probably play Endless Vacation by the Ramones.
One of the worst bands known to man.
Not even true.
This is blown up in my face.
They influenced every band. Anyways.
By the way, dear listener, we're way... Like, I wrote 7 questions for this. I didn't use any of them.
And we went...
We used 3.
2 hours.
Yeah. No, I... if I could choose a song, it'd probably be...
For me, it's Be Thou My Vision.
Is it?
That's a good one.
That will always just...
I mean, look.
Have a spot in my heart.
I'm bad with song names. I could not tell you.
Start singing one for us, that's all.
Oh, say, can you
barf.
See?
Oh, sorry. Hold on.
Get out of here.
Is it Ose or is it Jose?
It's about a Spanish guy?
Yeah, okay.
Changes everything.
What's the song? It's skipping my brain. Altogether Good by Citizens.
Never heard of it.
It's a very good.
Probably good.
It's very. I've got it on vinyl.
That's cool.
Well, this was well with my soul.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I go with. All right, gentlemen. This you made it great through the gauntlet. We're out of video space, so if you're hearing this, you're not seeing it. But maybe we'll have a logo up so you can hear our sweet voices. Gentlemen, it's been a real pleasure.
We could animate the last.
We should have some of the
last few minutes.
We should claymation it.
That'd be awesome.
Ooh. You understand how much. Anyway, no.
It was great to hear you guys' thoughts on worship. We should do it again sometime.
I agree.
Yes.
There's always more to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, always.
Brandon, get us out of here.
I will. This has been Outsiders Podcast. Check us out on Apple Podcasts. Rate us, review us, share us. Yeah, this has been awesome. See you in a couple weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know why I did this, because no one can see us.
They never will.
Ding, 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 ding. See you later. Bye.
Bye. Wow.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.